Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Nun Hei in Meseches Erevin. We pick up on the last line on daf Nun Dalet on the base. The Gemara is going to continue with the Agadita, the beautiful Agadita that we had yesterday, continuing on discussing the concept that Torah is Loi Bashamayim, and then the Gemara will continue a few lines in to Nun Hei Amar Aleph and go back to the Cheshbon, how to calculate the Ibur of a city, how to calculate the Tchum, hence the beautiful diagram on the Daf. Ultimately, on Amud Beis, on Nun Hei Amud Beis, we will begin to discuss a different type of Mechitzas. We will go back to the Sugyas of Mechitzas that we had earlier on in the Meseches, and we'll apply some of those Halachas of Mechitzas to calculating the Tchum, and what qualifies as a set of Mechitzas to extend the Tchum of Shabbos. Let's begin the last line on Adalat Amud Beis, where we left off, where the Gemara was darshaning the pasuk in Mishlei Emor L'Chochma Choisiyat Umoida Labina Tikra, that we had a drasha that said Asei Mudaim L'Torah, that you should make simanim for your learning. Rava has a beautiful drasha. I'm sitting here in a yeshiva in the Grus Kolel, and this drasha is so important to our Batzas Torah. Rava Amar Asei Mo'adim L'Torah. You should set aside time. Rashi says, Kavu itim l'talmidchem sheyedu eis lavo v'lishanas. So you have to set aside time to be able to speak to the Talmidim in learning. You need to be able to make the Torah accessible to them. V'haynu da'amar Rabbi Avdimi bar Chama bar Tusa, may dechsiv loy v'ashamayim hi v'loy me'ever layomi, the beautiful psukim in Parshas Nitzavim, that Torah is neither in the heavens that you need to go up, nor is it across the seas. Loy b'shemayim hi shim b'shemayim hi atatzarech lalos acharel. If it would be in the heavens, then we would have a responsibility to figure our way up there how to get it. V'im eiver liyami atatzarech lavor acharel. You would have to cross the seas to get it. Explains Rashi that the statement of Rabbi Avdimi that either one needs to set aside simanim for Torah, that you need to be able to set aside a way to work to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Or maybe we could add, even though Rashi doesn't say this, that one needs to set aside time for the Talmidim to be able to learn from the Rebbe, to what we would call in the yeshivas, to speak with the Rebbe in learning. Both of those things are expressed in the pasuk, lo v'ashamayim hi. Rashi explains, because if it was in the Shemayim, then in such a case, you would have to go up and actually access it. In other words, there's a responsibility, ein sof. There's a responsibility on a person to acquire Torah no matter what. And maybe one could add, according to the second explanation of Rava, that there's a responsibility to the Rebbe to make sure that it's loy v'ashamayim hi. Rava amar lo v'ashamayim hi, lo timatzei b'mi shemagbia daitoi aleha kishamayim. Whoever raises himself up to the heavens and thinks he's great, he will not succeed in learning. Tonight I was planning to discuss with the Chevra and the Kolel and the Yeshiva the reality that those Talmidim who are the smartest and the brightest aren't the ones who generally become great in Torah, that there's a tremendous trap of Gaiva. And someone who widens his mind, he thinks his mind is so great because he knows so many fantastic things, he's not going to be necessarily zoche in Torah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar lo b'shamayim hi, lo timatzei b'gasei ruach. Torah is not found by bali gaiva, v'lo me'iver liyam hi, lo timatzei el b'sachronim v'lo b'tagorim. It won't be found by merchants, because the Mefarshim explain that their focus is not in Torah, but they make their melacha kavua and their Torah aray. You could have somebody that works very, very hard, works for a living, and he works very hard, but what's really important? What makes him tick? Is it his business that makes him tick, or is it his ruchnius that makes him tick? So tagarim, their business makes them tick, and therefore they're not going to be zocha to excel in Torah, as well as the sachronim are also traveling merchants that go around to sell because they've prioritized their business over their ruchnia. The Gemara continues, 10 lines on the top on Nun Hei Amud Aleph. Now we get into some nitty-gritty, even a little bit of geometry, but Be'ezer Hashem, it shouldn't be too difficult. Zok de'elegi gemara, Tan Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, Keitzem ma'abrin es ha'arim. How do we calculate the ibur of the city? Let us explain what that means. Of course, at the end of the city, we've learned already in the past, the Torah Kedosha says in Parshas B'Shalach, Al Yetze Ish Me'mekoymai. What is his Mekoymai? So the Tzedukim were of the opinion it means your house. That was not the tradition that we have that goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ish Mipi Ish from Moshe Rabbeinu. That was not the meaning of the Pasuk, but rather the meaning of the Pasuk was that you're not supposed to leave your city, your Tchum, which is 2,000 Amos. Now, at the edge of the city, we calculate 2,000 Amos. Now, there are times that the city is not even, as you see in all the diagrams on the daf. How do you calculate where the city ends? Aruka kemoshehi. If the city is long, then you leave it as it is. Rashi tells us not to worry yet about what that means. Leave it for later on in the Gemara. So Rashi is the best Rebbe, not YU Torah or Torah anytime. Rashi is the best Rebbe, and let's take Rashi's advice and to leave it right now. Agula, osin lo zavios merubas. Osin lo zavios, period. When it comes to something that's a circle, so then you make corners to it. We have a beautiful diagram in the Rashi. We don't need to go to the Hod V'Hadar. Here Rashi shows us that if you have a circle, you draw a square around it. In other places in Shas, we learn that the corner equals to one quarter of the circle. And basically, the best English expression probably is that we square off the city, and therefore the city is actually larger than its actual borders, if it's a circle, and we square off on the outside, and the tchum starts from the edge of the square. So agula osn los zavios merubos. If it's a square, ein osn los zavios. Then in such a case, you don't need to square it off, but you begin from the end of the square. Haisa rechava mitzad echod uktsara mitzad acher. What happens if the city has one part of it that is long and another part of it that's short? We have that diagram. Rashi explains the dibras maschil mitzad. And you could see it in the diagrams, in the Hod V'Hadar, they do a good job of drawing this out, that the city is a triangle. That's what it means, that it's ktsara mitzadzeh, it's narrow on one side, it's rachav on the other side. So then in such a case, we square off from the widest part of the triangle. As you can see, we keep on squaring off, and squaring off, making the city actually a little bit larger. Halachically, we view the city larger than per its square inches. So, we look at it as if it's equal. In other words, we extend the line, as you see in the diagram, from the largest point till the shortest point, from the base of the triangle, if you will, all the way perpendicular to where the triangle ends, and then you draw across. So, Haisa Rechav Mitzadecha Uktzar Mitzadecha, Roi Noise Kilu Hi Shava. Hayabayis Echad Yoitze Kimin Pogum. What happens if you've got a couple of houses that are jumping out? In other words, generally it's a square, as you have in the Hod V'Hadar diagram, although there they have it as a ches, it wouldn't make a difference. It's generally a square. However, you've got a few houses that jump out of the square that are not part of the general symmetry, and they are further out, almost outside of the general city. So if they come out, kimin pogun, o shnei botim yotzin kimin shnei pigumin, or you have two houses that are going out, ro'enosa ki'ilu chut matuach aleihen. You draw a line with a string from those outer houses, umodim imenu ula'alon alpayim amos, and you measure from there 2,000 amos. So basically, the theme that we constantly have is you draw a line from the outermost house, and then you include everything else as being measured from that point. The Gemara continues, Haisa asuya kimin keshes. Now it gets a little bit more complicated. What happens if you have a arch or a rainbow-like city? Rashi in the diagrams, Rashi of course didn't make these diagrams, but the diagrams that are found in our Pirush Rashi, so there we have a semicircle of a city, and for some reason the city is built in a way that it's shaped as a semicircle, but there's nothing inside the circle. The houses are a horseshoe. For those of you who are familiar, it happens to be in Ramat Beit Shemesh, the street that I live on, Nachal Lachish, is a horseshoe. It's exactly like this description in Rashi, where we have houses that are going around in a semicircle. Inside of the semicircle, it happens to be by us, there is a park for children to play in. So let's say the whole city was built in such a manner. It's built in a semicircle with nothing inside the circle. Okimin Gam, or it is like a Gam. Gam, if I am not mistaken, was a Greek expression which refers to a letter that is similar to our letter L. Take a look at it in the pictures in Rashi. There, basically, what we have is a city that is built on a line. It has a line of houses, which then makes a perpendicular turn. In our Rashi, it's an upside-down L. So a gam is an upside-down L. And the city only is built going in one direction and then turning. So it's, if you will, almost a half a square. So Roanoso, we look at the empty space, both the empty space of the horseshoe, as well as the empty space of the El, ki'ilu hi malei abatim v'chatzeros, as if it's full of houses and courtyards, umodedim imenu ulahalon al payim amos, and we measure 2,000 amos from that closed point. So we close the arch, we close the L, in other words, drawing a perpendicular line with a right angle, and then we calculate 2,000 amos. Amar, aruka kemoshihi. The expression we started out with earlier, aruka. We learned at the beginning of the Braisa that if it is long and thin, you measure the tchum the way it is. Asks the Gemara, pshita, that's pashut. If it's something that's long and thin, it's not like the case of the keshes or the gam. Why would you think that you should draw anything else? Lo tzricha, says the Gemara, daricho ktina, if it's long and thin, mao the same in the Meiri, says the Gemara here has not given yet the teretz, but the Gemara is just repeating again the case of long and thin and describing it as ariko uktina. Mao the same elitin la pusya aurka, that you should give the add width to the length. In other words, let's say it is a mile long, but only 100 meters wide, maybe we should square it and make it as if it is a mile wide as well. Just like we squared off the gam and the keshes, so too maybe we should do with some things arika ktina. Kamash malon, chiddush is that we don't do that. Merubas, if it's already squared, ain osan lo savius, you don't add corners to it. Again, the Gemara says, I understand you're going to add corners when we're talking about a circle, as the first diagram that we had in Rashi. However, a square, why would you add more space to add more corners? It already has corners. Lo tzricha de marba velo marba. We're talking about something that is square, but is not entirely square. It's not entirely square because it's velo marba biribua olam. It is not square to the dimensions of the world. Mal de sema, what does that mean? Before we continue on in the Gemara's explanation, if you have a square, maybe square is only something that's square in the directions of the world. That you have a straight line in the south and a straight line going up in the east and in the west and a straight line in the north. What happens if it's not sitting on the axis of the world? It's all diagonal. Ostensibly, when you're standing inside in the middle, you're standing inside of a square. However, if you're looking at it from a perspective, an aerial view, then everything is on diagonals. Mao the same va olam. I might have thought that you should square it off in the directions of the world. Kamash Milan, the chidush is that you don't, and you could leave the square the way it is. The Rajba is quoted as explaining beautifully that the Havamina of the Gemara, it's a little hard to understand. Why would you think that it should follow dimensions of the world? Is because the Gemara earlier, Nun Aleph Amid Aleph, had explained that the source, that we square off a circle, comes from Parshas Maaseh, Umadoise michutz liiras pas kedma al paimama. And you will measure out pas kedma, that speaks about going in the direction of the world and not simply making it straight, but following the directions of kedem and safon, etc. Hence, we would have a havamin if that's the makar. Maybe you square off based on the worldly directions. The Gemara continues on last narrow line. Hayabayis echad yotzei kamin pogum, hayishnei batim yotzei kamin shnei pegumin. We mentioned if the house goes out, you draw the line from there. Hash asks the Gemara, bayis echad amrit, we say that you draw the line out from the outer house, even though it's further out than the rest of the houses. Shnei batim yiboy, do we need to teach us for two houses? Answers the Gemara, leitzricha mishtei ruchas. We're talking about with the house, there has, is jutting out from two different sides. Maybe we say that we draw the line from the outer house. That's only one direction. But in two directions, we would never say such a thing. Kamash malon, the chiddush is that we say it in that instance as well. We learned, if it's made like a arch or a upside L, letter L, ronos the kilu imalei a bottom, we fill up the entire gap, v'chatzeros, umodim menu lahalon alpayim ama. Amar Rav Huna analyzes, ira asuya kekeshes, if you have a city that's made like an arch, and we explain there's no houses inside of the arch or the horseshoe, im yesh ben shnei roshea pochos me'arbas alpayim ama, if the distance between the two edges. So let's take a look at our standard diagram in Rashi, where you look at the bottom of the edges of the arch. If there's an area of less than 4,000 amos from one edge of the bottom of the arch to the other, then we consider the area as entirely closed. Modid in la min hayeser. Then you measure it from the bottom of the archway, and as we had suggested above, that you close the arch, and we ignore the fact that there's nothing in between. Because we consider those two edges, Rav Huna explains, as attached to each other, and therefore the tchum begins at the bottom. However, Rav Huna is mechadesh v'imlav, but if there is such a great distance between the two edges that there's more than 4,000 amas, then they're looked as two distinct entities. Once they're looked at as two distinct entities, then you can't close the two sides together because the two sides are not related at all. Vimlav modud in lamin akeshes. Then you measure the tchum from the upper part, from the upper part of the arch. Asking Amaru, mi Amar Ravuna, achidu Ravuna says, v'Amar Ravuna didn't Ravuna taught. Choymas ha'ir shenifritza b'meya v'arboim v'achas v'shlish. Didn't Ravuna teach that if a city is divided in half? Here we don't have a diagram on our daf. In the Hod v'Hodor, we have a nice diagram for it. If the city is broken through the middle, do we consider it one city or two cities? It depends on how large the gap is. If it's twice the size of a karfef, Rashi explains, that's the number over here of 141 and a third, then in such a case, we view them as two distinct cities, and each one has its own separate cheshbon of its tchum, and you cannot say that side A, which is broken off from side B, starts its tchum on the side of B, only at its edge, rather it starts its cheshbon from its own edge, the edge of A. Now, what do we see? How is a gap defined? Here, a gap is defined by 141 and a third amma, which is much, much, much less than the 4,000 ammas that Rav Huna had suggested. Amar Rabba Bar Ula Loi Kasha, Kam Beruach Achas, Kam Mishtei Ruchas. There's a difference between the two. If we're talking about the Ira Asuya Kekeshes, explains Rashi five lines from the bottom, so then the city is not divided each other except on one side. If it's only divided on one side, it's not through and through. The city is not broken through and through. It happens to be shaped as a horseshoe, but it's one contiguous, funny-shaped city. And therefore, if one end is divided from the other end, more than 4,000 amas, then that will be a problem in terms of calculating the inside as part of the city. But we don't consider the city entirely broken apart, that we use the same determination broken apart of 141 and a third amis. So that's the difference. Here in our case, it's broken up in Keshes only on one side. Over there, when it came to the Chomos Hirsh and Ivritza, it's broken on two sides. Umayka Mashmalan, and what did we learn in regards to Rav Huna's other halacha of Chomitz? Chomas Hirsh and Ifritza b'meiv arba and v'achas mishalosh. The noisin karfif luzu v'karfif luzu. That we give each half of the broken city one karfif. And if there's more than one, than two karfif, so then in such a case, it's considered divided. Ha'am Rav Huna chada zimna. But didn't Rav Huna already teach us this one time? The snan, as we learn in a Mishnah later on, Nun Zayin Amin Aleph, noisning karpeif li'ir, when you come to measure the tchum of a city, you give 71 amis for the edge of the city before you begin to calculate, because it was common to have parks at the edge of the city. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's what Rabbi Meir held. The Chachamim Oimrim, lo yamru karpeif ela bein shtei ayaros. And the Chachamim said, Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Meir, and they say we don't calculate an added part of Karpeif, but rather we give the distance of Karpeif between two cities, that we consider them attached if there's less than two Karpeifim between them. V'itmar Rav Huna taught, Rav Huna Amar, Karp Luzu v'Karpeif Luzu, that we give them, Sach HaKol, two Karpeifim, 141 and a third amas. V'chia barav amar, einos nele karpeif achad l'shneim. That the Chachamim were saying that you give one karpeif between the two cities to be considered attached. What do we see? We already learned that the shita of Rav Huna is that the distance that we give between cities is 141 amas. Now, if Rav Huna was teaching us this idea, then we already learned it in the name of Rav Huna. Explains the Gemara Tzrich, we need both cases. The Ashmi and Hacha, maybe only in this case, when it comes to the divide of the Chomos that were Nifritza in the beginning. There were walls that were Nifritza. So maybe when do we say that you have 141 amas in distance, and we consider it as one tchum. Shum da'avlei tzad hetemeikar. They were once entirely attached through a wall. Aval hasam, but over there, in the case of the shita of the chachamim on Nun Zayin Amin Aleph, where we say nosein karpeif liir, maybe you wouldn't give two karpeifim in such a case, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Mishum detchika tamish, excuse me, ema lo. Then in such a case, we would not say v'yashmin and hasam. And if we would have said it over there, in the case of the two cities, according to the Chachamim, Mishum Detchika Tashmishtayu. It's difficult for two cities to use one park. Witness all the fighting when it comes to putting up a neighborhood, and who's going to get the park, where the park is going to be, who's going to be invited to the park, who's going to be able to set the rules to the park. So then maybe we should give them two parks. Aval Hacha Delo Detchika Tashmishtayu. But here it's not that issue, it's the break in the middle of the city, a malo. So maybe you would say that you have only one karpef and not two tzricha. That's why we need the chishur of Huna, that you allow to calculate with two karpefim. V'kama havi, we've calculated how far apart the edges of the keshes could be in order for it to be considered closed. What about how far deep of a gap can there be in the orifice of the arch? In other words, if the arch is so deep, almost like a triangle, in such a case to say that you still make the tchum from the edge of the imaginary line to the ends would be difficult, because at the end of the day, there's a tremendous amount of space in the orifice that it's hard to describe the tchum to be connected to that. Rabbi Rav Huna Amar Alpayim Amar. Rabbi Rav Huna says the distance is 2,000 amos. See the Hod V'Hadar that spells out what we just described. Amar Rabbi Braid Rabbi Bar Rav Huna. Rabbi, the son of Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, said, Afil Yeser Me Alpayim Amar, even more than 2,000 amos. Amar Abayi Kavase de Rabbi Braid Rabbi Rav Huna, that will be acceptable even more than 2,000 amos. Mistabra, the boy Hodar Osi derech habatim. Rashi explains that if he wants, he could always walk the distance of the houses. And since he could walk that entire distance in a heter manner, the entire orifice that he's covered by walking through the arch, through the houses, indicates that the entire area is considered
part of the tchum.
The only time it'll be a problem is if there is more than a distance of 4,000 between the two edges. In our Mishnah, we had learned Hayasham Gedudios Gevolas Asaratvachim. If you have, we translated then something akin to towers that are 10 tvachim tall. They're considered like houses, and they're considered part of the city, and you could start measuring the end of the city from them, even though the houses have already end. Ask the Gemara, my gudadios. What are gudadios? I'm reviewed the shalosh mechitza shein ala tikra. It's three walls without a roof. Iboilu, we have the following shayla. So gudadios, three mechitzas without a roof, is considered a domestic area and part of the city. The city doesn't end until you include that. What about if it doesn't have three mechitzas, but has two? Iboilu, shtei mechitzas v'yesh alei and tikra. Has two mechitzas with a roof. Ma, what would that be? Tashma, come on here, I'll bring you a proof. Elu shemis abrim in ma. These are included in the ibur. Nefesh means a tomb. Sheyesh ba'ar ba'amis ha'ar ba'amis. If it's 4x4 amis, it's already considered an area that even has the status of a dwelling area, because a shomer, a guard, used to often watch that area. Va'gesher, as well as a bridge. Va'kever, sheyesh ben beis dira. And a beis hakvaros, as well as a bridge that have an area for people to live in. U'beis hakneses sheyesh ben beis dira, as well as a synagogue that has an area for lechazin, for the, in those days, the shamish that we refer to today colloquially was referred to as the chazan, not the person who davens for the yom, but the person who used to take care of the shul. Ubeis avodas kochavim, sheyesh ba beis dira lekamrim, as well as a place of idol worship that has a place for the priest to live. The Gemara continues in middle of the second line, wide line, and amabeis valvaros valtsaros shebesados, and the stables and those things that store things in the field. Vyesh ben beis dira, and they have an area for people to live, vaborganin shebesocha, as well as the huts that were put into fields, vahabayis shebeyam, as well as a house on the sea, which means a house on an island in a sea, harei elu misabrinima, these could be included in the boundaries of a city. Ve'elu she'im misabrinima, and these are the ones that are not included in the boundaries. Nefesh, we mentioned, was a tomb, but shenifritza mishtei ruchuseha. Here it's not closed, but it's open on two sides. Eilech ve'elech. Va'gesher va'hakever, as well as a bridge or a cemetery, she'en lam beis adira, that doesn't have a place for an individual to live. U'beis haknesa, she'en lam beis dira lechazen, or a shul that doesn't have a place for the chazen to live. U'beis avodas kochavim, she'en lam beis dira, as well as a house of idol worship that doesn't have a house. Lekomrim. Va'avaros, and the stables, va'otsar shebesado, she'en lam beis dira, that don't have a place for someone to live. U'bar, and a pit, shiach, is a long pit. U'ma'ara, cave, v'gader, in a wall of stone, v'shavach, and a dovecote shebesocha, a dovecote that's in the field, v'abayis shebesvina, and a house that is on a ship, ein elu misabrinima, these are not included inside. So we have two different categories, one a category of dwellings that qualify as being included in the city, and the other that does not qualify as dwellings that are not included in the boundary of the city. Now, we go back to the original shayla that we had three lines above the wide. And that is, what happens if you have two walls and a tikra? Analyzes the Gemara. Ketani Mias, we learned, nefesh, a tomb, shenifritza b'shtei ruchuseh, that's open on two sides, elech ve'elech, is not included as a residency that's considered part of the city. Mai lav d'ika tikra? Ah, a tomb normally has a roof. So we see from here that a roof with two walls is not enough. Lo deleka tikra, you have to say that there was no roof. The Gemara now begins to analyze these other dwellings that we had mentioned before. Bayishib yam lemaychazi. What is a house on the island? What purpose does it serve? Amra papa bayish asui lifnos bakelim shebesvina. This house is used to clean out the utensils in a ship, essentially to use to store the utensils of a ship. We continue with Uma'ara, just to explain, if you hear a little bit of noise in the background, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas
Bahar Bechukosai, we've had a blackout on our block in Ramat Beit Shemesh, so I went outside and I'm recording this outside in the backyard, so if you hear the children playing and so on, that's what's going on. The Gemara continues, Uba'ara Emes Haberes Ima, that when it comes to a cave is not included in the Ibur of the city. That's what we had learned. Ask Gemara, Vatani Rabbi Chiya, didn't Rabbi Chiya teach us Mara Misaberes Ima, that the cave is included? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, it depends. Kishiyej Binyan Al Piha. We're talking about a case where there is a building by the entrance of the cave, and therefore it's considered a dwelling. Asks the Gemara, V'tepiklei mishum binyan gufei. But if that's so then it should be considered part of the city because of the building itself. Answers the Gemara, lo tzricha el lahashlim. We're talking about a case where the building itself is not a normal dwelling place. Maybe it doesn't have enough room, as Rashi explains, and the cave completes it to be a normal dwelling place. Hence, the chiddush here is that the cave can combine. My wife just informed me that there are many people now that are learning Daf Yomi outside, that there's been a blackout throughout Ramat Beit Shemesh. Amar Rav Huna, Yoshvei Tzrifin, Ein Modedin Lahen, Elami Pischan Batehen. Rashi explains in Dibur HaMaschil that a tzrif is a house that's made out of bamboo and other pieces of wood. And Rav Huna is teaching us that if you have many people that live in these shacks, they cannot be considered a city, because that is not the normal way for people to live in such flimsy shacks. So then in such a case, then it's not considered one city, and each individual measures 2,000 amos from his house. That's what it means, a modin in lahen, elmi pesach batehen. Masar Rav Chizda asks the following kasha we learned by Midbar Lami Gimel, not that way. Vayachnu al yardei mi beis hayushimos, the pasuk continues, ad ovel shitim bar v'smov, the klal Yisrael rested on the yardein. I saw that what that area was. And it was three parcels by three parcels. Vitanya, and we also learned that when Bnei Yisrael was encamped, nifnin, when they needed to go to the bathroom, they would go behind the machane. What do we see from this brisa? That they were considered in one camp. That we apply the rule v'haya machanecha kadosh, that there is a requirement v'yasei tia lecha al azenecha, that there is a requirement not to go to the bathroom in the camp, even though Bnei Yisrael lived in these huts of tzrifin. So we see they are considered a camp. Amalei Rava responded digle midbar kamrit. You are talking about those who lived in the Midbar, since it says in regards to the Digle Midbar, that they would travel per the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's considered as if they were entirely rested in one spot. In other words, normally, a person who lives in such a manner is living in a way that cannot be considered an Ir Keva. However, if someone is just simply trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu V'Al Pi Hashem Yisrael, so whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them to stop, they stop forever until HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them to move on. This is a Gemara as well in Meseches Shabbos, in the second Perek, and this is, produces a lot of literature, Halacha L'maisa, whether we consider all the buildings in the time of the Mishkan as being by definition a Binyan Kavua, and not a binyan lizman. I believe that we spoke about the sugya in halacha from the daily daf in Maseches Shabbos, the sugya of binyan l'sha'a. Amar Rav Chinuna bar Rav Kana amar Rashi, yesham shalosh chatzeros al shnei batim hukvu'u. If there are three chatzeros with two houses, and these houses, Rashi adds, are made with stone or wood, so then the entire area is considered a permanent dwelling, then even those who are living in these flimsy huts are considered as if they are part of that city. Those people who live in these huts, as well as nomads in the desert, their lives are not good lives, and their wives and their sons are not theirs. The Gemara later on will tell us what that means. We learned Eliezer ish birya omer yoshvei tzvivim ki yoshvei kroim. Those who live in these shacks are like those who live in the cemetery. And on their daughters, we say, cursed is those who has relations with animals. My taima. Ula says, because they don't have bathhouses, then in such a case, it leads to licentiousness because they end up being with other people. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Mipnei Shemargishin, Zeleze B'Tvila. Rabbi Yochanan says, because they end up touching each other when they go to Tvila. There's not enough privacy. Mai Beinayu, what's the difference between them? Ika Beinayu, Nahara, the Samach Lebesa. The difference between them is if there is a river next to the house, they don't have to go far, that on the one hand, they'll be bathing with other people that could lead Laveros. On the other hand, it's not going to be a case of where that ala derech, as we spoke about before, well, she'en lehen merchatzos, that's not going to be a problem. So the issue over here is that the poverty leads to a point that ultimately people end up living too close to each other, and that leads to licentiousness. Amar avuna kol ir she'en bo yerek, any city that does not have vegetables, yeah, this is a rayef to the for my wife, who's a dietitian, that eating vegetables are important. Kol ir shein b'yerek ein talmud chacham rashoin lo dur bo, a talmud chacham is not allowed to live there. Asks the Gemara, that of course is assuming that vegetables are good. Are really vegetables good? Remember the yerek ma'alya? Are vegetables good for people? Vatanya, but didn't we learn? Shloisha marbines hazevel, there are three things that encourage excrement. V'kofenes hakoma, and they weaken a person. V'notun echon mechamesh meos barein of shel adam, and they cause 1/500 of a person's vision to be lost. What are they? Pas kibar. Pas that's made out of bran, what we nowadays call the more whole wheat type of bread. V'shecher chadosh, and new beer. V'yarek, and vegetables. Lo kasher, says Gemara, haba tumi v'karsi. We're talking about tumi v'karsi as helping the body. Ha bishar yarki. And the other things are, shum is garlic, and karsi is a type of leek, and those are good. Bishar Yarki, in the time of the Gemara, they thought that other vegetables would damage. Kidisani, as we learned in the Braisa, shum yerek karshim, when it comes to the shum of the yerek, the creation are chatzi yerek, shenir of tznon, nir asam chayim. Shum and a yerek are excellent for the body. Creation has half of the power of it, that if you have in snown, then you have good life. Vatanya. But then we learn near it so near sam moves, the same type of contradiction. Kasha kamba, all in it depends if we're talking about the leaves that are not good. Kambi mos, the roots are the ones that are helpful. Another Teretz Gemara gives kambi mos achama in the summer when the body is hot. And then in such a case, the onion on a certain level cools down the body, hence the name tznon, because it makes the body tsanan. Tznon is cold, seen as cold. Kan bi mosak shamim, so then in such a case, then onions are not helpful. I heard from one of my great rabbeim, Rav Herschel Schechter, that the Pachad Yitzchak writes, not Rav Huttner, but an encyclopedic work, Rav Yitzchak Ampandri, if I'm not mistaken, writes that the Gemara was assessing things based on the science of its times. And in the science of its times, they understood that these vegetables were helpful. And at the time, they probably didn't have the appropriate measures to be able to evaluate the other vegetables. This Bezer Hashem concludes the daf of Nun Hei in Maseches Erevin. Bezer Hashem Yisbarech, our halacha topic from Erevin Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis revolves around the drasha of the Gemara on the bottom of Nun Hei. On Nun Hei Amud Beis, as we said, the pasuk al pi Hashem yachanu val pi Hashem yisahu. The Gemara tells us that normally people who live in shacks that are made out of reeds are not considered people who are dwelling permanently. For that reason, the Gemara says, even if they
think in their minds that they live there permanently. It's not considered an area that is a city, al pi halacha, and therefore they would not measure their tchum from the perimeter of the city of shacks, but rather their city and tchum begins each individual from his shack itself, because it's not considered an ir kavua. The Gemara asks from the Diglei Midbar that the Diglei Midbar were considered individuals who had a tchum, yet they lived in shacks. To which the Gemara answers, we learn from the pasuk al pi Hashem yachanu val pi Hashem yiso kiman de kavia luhu dami, that since it was a directive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu how they should live and how they should travel, their entire living process was considered a process that was kavua. And even though they were living in shacks, but because they were dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their living of arai in temporary dwellings, because they were so mechan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was a living that is kavua. There are two points that we'd like to bring out in the halacha from the daily daf. Number one, a small point that's related to the holiday of Sukkot. That is the whole thing that we celebrate on Sukkot. That to what the world seems as temporary, if a person is Dovek Takadosh Baruch Hu, that is the ultimate permanent expression of living. Al Pi Hashem Yachanu V'Al Pi Hashem Yiso gives a person full permanence. Secondly, is we'd like to connect this to a sugya in Shabbos on Daf Lamed Aleph that gets involved with whether we could learn from the Mishkan that even if one knows that the building that one is building or a Lego that one is building is going to be taken apart, could we learn from the Mishkan that one is going to be chayiv despite the fact that it's binyan l'sha'a? And now we go to our application of that from Maseches Shabbos and Halacha from the Daily Daf, as we discussed on Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph on the base. Bezras Hashem, our Halacha topic for Daf Lamed Aleph is the topic of Binyan L'Sha'a, constructing something that might qualify as Bone, but it being temporary. How do we paskin on that discussion? And in practical terms, what's the Halacha in regards to using Lego and other items like that on Shabbos? Normally, when we do a halacha topic from the daily daf, we try to find the topic of the daf in the Shulchan Aruch. This is one of those cases where going to the Shulchan Aruch will not be that effective. In fact, we have to start with a Shailos Tshuva Sefer. The Chassam Sefer in Aruch Chaim Tshuva Ayin Beis is medayik for our Gemara, an important halacha. And many poskim use this approach to the Chassam Sofer Halacha L'maisa, even though it's not clear that we could find a direct raya to it from the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, and for that matter, the Mishnah Berurah. Our Gemara had told us that there is an opinion that holds that the only time Soyser al Manas Livnois is chayiv, if you destroy a building in order to build it again, that you're going to be chayiv, is if you build in the same place. The Gemara asks, what about the Mishkan? In the Mishkan, which is the source for all Malachas Shabbos, they would deconstruct it and then build another place. That must prove that Soser al Manas Livnos Shalomim Komo is Chayiv. The Gemara answers and says, no, the Pasuk al Pi Hashem Yachanu, that since it was dependent on the Tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's considered Soser al Manas Livnos B'mekomo. Rabbeinu Chananel explains the Teretz of the Gemara, that since the taking down of the Mishkan was not done intentionally to build another place, it was done to bring it wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be brought, and wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be built again. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say that he wants to build it in the same spot, that's what they would do. They were not taking it down never to be built again from that spot, they were taking it down to build it again by the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wherever he would say it. And therefore, it was Soser al Manas Livnos b'chol makom sheyesh. That's what it seems is the Pshat Rabbeinu Chananel. And therefore, it's considered b'makom hazegam, even in that place as well. For our halacha l'maisa application, the Yerushalmi, in Perek, in the end of Perek Klal Gadol, seems to use the idea of Rabbeinu Chananel, according to one opinion there, for an important halacha l'maisa application in regards to binyan l'sha'a. Yerushalmi asks,
a different question of how you could learn from the Mishkan. Ask the Yerushalmi, v'lav l'shah haya. Was it not l'shah? To which the Gemara says, no, it wasn't l'shah, because it was al-pia dibur. Everything was dependent on the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore when they rested, they were resting forever until HaKadosh Baruch Hu would command them otherwise. Very similar to the idea that we have also in Rabbeinu Chanal and Arabic Gemara, that it's not being entirely removed from that place, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu might decide that we should put it back in that place. It's not l'sha, because the Lashon HaGemara is al-pi ha-dibur, k'ma ha-yashayu chaynim la'olam. It was all dependent on the word of Hashem, and when they put the Mishkan down, then it was there la'olam until HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell them otherwise. The Chassam Sofer in Shuvah Ayin Beis says, based on the fact that our Gemara quotes this notion, al-pi Hashem yachnu v'al-pi Hashem yiso, that it makes the construction of the Migdash as being a construction that's la'olam. In other words, our Gemara uses the fact that it's a divine command to say that the Mishkan was different, and to say normally, as the Yerushalmi had said, that Binyan L'sha would not be considered a Binyan. The Chassam Sofer claims that by using the same Pasuk, the Gemara is substantiating that opinion in the Yerushalmi. If that's so, the Chassam Sofer claims that we paskin Binyan L'sha lav Binyan, and the Mishkan in our Sugya is different because the Mishkan could be in any place, and for the Sugya in the Yerushalmi, the Mishkan is not an example of Binyan L'sha because the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kavua. But if someone else was taking up and down a tent, and there it wasn't Al-Pi Tzivui Hashem, then constructing the tent, if he knew it was going to move, would be considered a Binyan L'sha. It's for this reason the Chassam Sofer concludes, in contradistinction to the opinion of the Noda B'Yehuda, who writes in Madura Basra Simin Lamed that the opening of an umbrella would constitute an Isur D'Oraisa, the Chassam Sofer says that even if it is Bona, it's Binyan L'sha and would not be an Isur D'Oraisa. Ultimately, the Chassam Sofer is not Matir opening an umbrella, but he claims that it should be ostensibly Mutter from the side of Binyan L'sha. Ultimately, he comes out the Chumrah for other technical reasons. Now there are some Achronim that disagree with the Chassam Sofer. I'll just give you Mara Mekomos, the Or Sameach in Perek Yud, Halach Yud Beis in Hilchos Shabbos, as well as the Yeshuas Yankov, the Binyan Olam. Chaim Avadya quotes many of them in his Tshuvas, Yechaves Das, Chelik Dalid, Simin Nun Hei, and Simin Nun Vav. But at the end of the day, Chacham Avadya, as well as the Tzitz Eliezer Chelik Yud Gimel, goes with this approach as well. The Sefer Gedulas Mordechai quoted in an excellent Likud Sefer Yisodei Halacha in Simin Yud, in the Shalos HaTshuvos Gedulas Mordechai, suggests a pshara in the Machlokis Hachronim that emerges for the Chassam Sofer from how we read our Gemara, and that is that since there is the opinion that we paskin like in Shin Yudal Mi'ikur Dedina Ein Binyan V'Stira Bekelim, so then, at least in Kalim, there's a lot of room to be Mekel. Because even if we're going to say that this opinion of Binyan L'sha is incorrect, nevertheless, even by Kalim, where, despite the fact that we have certain caveats, and we don't paskin ain Binyan V'Stira B'Kalim ad asof, nevertheless, Mi'ikur D'dina, we paskin ain Binyan V'Stira B'Kalim. Hence, there's room to be Mekel when it comes to things that are not mechuba lekarka vis-a-vis Binyan L'sha. Hence, in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, in the older editions, Perek Tez Zayin Os Yud Ches, Sak is presented in the following parva manner. Ein lim noas hi yaladim, a person doesn't have to hold back children, milivnos bikubiot uba avne pela, I'll call me name. From what I understand, avne pela also includes Lego as well. If there needs to be screwing done, then that, we know, is an Iser any time that there is the screwing of pieces, that's midrabanan, because it's domeh to the actual bone itself. However, if pieces don't have to be screwed in such a case, the halach is one does not need to stop children. In the footnote, in the previous edition, footnote Nun Gimel, in the end of the day, Reb Shlomo Zalman has a concern. with the lashon ktsas yesh lodun, then maybe he says maybe this is different. Kivan she'ena avanim mechubaro zu lezu, since they're not attached as one unit. When it comes to Avnei Pelah, Sheragil Lasas Ben Tzura Shonos, every time you make it into a different construct, right? The child one day wants to make a large house and then one day a tall building. Therefore, Efshad Chashuv Kol Pam Kosa Davar Mechadash. For that reason, one should consider it every time as if they're doing a new construct, and for some reason, Rav Shlomo Zalman thought that would be a problem. When discussing this with Rav Nevinzal Shlita, Rav Nevinzal, of course, will never disagree with Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he felt that the original psak should stand, and the reason he thought it should, he quoted to me, was because it qualifies as binyan l'shah. So it seems that Poskim today will use, based on our Gemara, the heter of binyan l'shah, that if it's something that is normally made and taken apart. We saw Gdulas Mordechai is not willing to do that when we have real bona that's at stake when it's Mechuber Lekarka. In regards to Binyan Stira Bekelim, because there are many instances that we are Machmir in Binyan Vestira Bekelim, if it's a Binyan Lashah, the Poskim will be Mekel, and we saw in the Shmir Shabbos where he's Me'ikar Dedina Mekel when it comes to Lego. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the Halacha topic from Daf Lamed Aleph.